Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want to talk to you this morning briefly, and I'm just going to give a little introduction here, and then I'm going to show you a little video clip of bits and pieces spliced together of Admiral McRaven from the United States. And maybe you've seen this before, I don't know. And then I'm going to come back up and make some remarks from Scripture. And I want to talk to us this morning. I just believe the Lord wants to say something to us. Did you know all the little things matter? The little things that we do. In that, as we look at the little things mattering and how that bleeds over into the nature of God who is faithful with everything. You know, the Scripture talks about faithfulness in kind of four contexts. One is it talks about faithfulness in light of who God is. It's His character. His character is the purity of faithfulness, never wavering, always faithful. The other context that Scripture talks about is people that we read about in here who God deemed as being faithful, and He deems them as being faithful, and then we get to read about them and see attributes of their life, even through struggle and hard times, of how they were faithful to help us. The third context where the Scripture talks about faithfulness is it talks about people who aren't faithful. They lack faithfulness, and how they live and how they conduct themselves and some of the consequences and repercussions of not being faithful. The fourth context talks about being faithful is, of course, in Galatians, where it talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And in that list of fruits of the Holy Spirit is faithfulness. And we know that the Holy Spirit, we believe in Christ, the Holy Spirit is at work in our life, bringing about the nature of God, taking us through a transformation of who we were before we had faith in Christ and who we are becoming, because our faith in Christ is very real. And it's active. It's not just believing God's out there somewhere. It's because He is and He cares and He came that begins to change the way I think about things, the way I deal with my past, how I look towards my future, the attitude we carry, all of that, at ongoing change and transformation. So the Holy Spirit is bringing that nature of God specifically in many ways, but specifically this morning on the theme of faithfulness. And you probably add a fifth if you want. In Colossians and Ephesians, the Apostle Paul writes about faithfulness and how the act of some of these very specific things of faithfulness are really a result of faith. That our faith is engaged. It's not just saying, I'm a person of faith. It's that this faith has expression, and it turns out to be faithfulness in very specific things we do. And I want you to look at this morning and consider all the little things matter. They do. It's not just the big events of life. I mean, consider this. Our life is not made up of big events all the time. It's made up of all the little things every day and every night that you and I do. That's what really fills in the most space and time in our life, is the little things, the behind-the-scenes things that people don't see. And we're going to talk a little bit about this, and I'm going to read a passage of Scripture in a little while, but I want you to know that all the little things that we do that we're faithful with begin to change our world. Changes our home, it changes our life, it can change the atmosphere of where we work, where we go to school, where we live our life. And it's the consistency of these little things that make actually the big impact over time to change the world, our world where we live. And I want you to know that Christ has called us, obviously, to change the world, because He came to change and rescue and save, and allows us to be a part of that and calls us to that purpose. And sometimes we think the little things don't matter. And I want you to know, in God's view, they do. And we're going to talk about that. And there's things in our life that come to distract, destroy us from being faithful. Our own flesh, our own attitude, sometimes other people, circumstances get in the way, these things that come. And I want us to look at this morning from God's Word, little things that matter, that they affect the big picture over time and can change our little world where we live and how we live. And so I want you to listen to this speech. It's a commencement speech done by Admiral McRaven. I believe it was at the University of Texas a few years ago. And this is just a powerful speech that he shares. And I'm going to come up and read from the scripture. So I want you to take a look at this.
You want to change the world? Start off by making your bed. If you make your bed every morning, you will have accomplished the first task of the day. It will give you a small sense of pride, and it will encourage you to do another task, and another, and another. And by the end of the day, that one task completed will have turned into many tasks completed. Making your bed will also reinforce the fact that the little things in life matter. If you can't do the little things right, you'll never be able to do the big things right. And if by chance you have a miserable day, you will come home to a bed that is made, that you made. And a made bed gives you encouragement that tomorrow will be better. To pass SEAL training, there are a series of long swims that must be completed. One is the night swim. Before the swim, the instructors joyfully brief the students on all the species of sharks that inhabit the waters off San Clemente. They assure you, however, that no student has ever been eaten by a shark, at least not that they can remember. But you are also taught that if a shark begins to circle your position, stand your ground. Do not swim away. Do not act afraid. And if the shark, hungry for a midnight snack, darts towards you, then summons up all your strength and punch him in the snout, and he will turn and swim away. There are a lot of sharks in the world. If you hope to complete the swim, you will have to deal with them. So if you want to change the world, don't back down from the sharks. Over a few weeks of difficult training, my SEAL class, which started with 150 men, was down to just 42. There were now six boat crews of seven men each. I was in the boat with the tall guys, but the best boat crew we had was made up of the little guys, the Munchkin crew, we called them. No one was over 5'5". The Munchkin boat crew had one American Indian, one African American, one Polish American, one Greek American, one Italian American, and two tough kids from the Midwest. They out-paddled, outran, and outswam all the other boat crews. The big men in the other boat crews would always make good-natured fun of the tiny little flippers the Munchkins put on their tiny little feet prior to every swim. But somehow these little guys from every corner of the nation and the world always had the last laugh, swimming faster than everyone and reaching the shore long before the rest of us. SEAL training was a great equalizer. Nothing mattered but your will to succeed, not your color, not your ethnic background, not your education, not your social status. If you want to change the world, measure a person by the size of their heart, not by the size of their flippers. The ninth week of training is referred to as Hell Week. It is 6 days of no sleep, constant physical and mental harassment, and one special day at the Mud Flats. The Mud Flats are an area between San Diego and Tijuana where the water runs off and creates the Tijuana Sloughs, a swampy patch of terrain where the mud will engulf you. It is on Wednesday of Hell Week that you paddle down to the Mud Flats and spend the next 15 hours trying to survive this freezing cold, the howling wind, and the incessant pressure to quit from the instructors. As the sun began to set that Wednesday evening, my training class, having committed some egregious infraction of the rules, was ordered into the mud. The mud consumed each man till there was nothing visible but our heads. The instructors told us we could leave the mud if only five men would quit. Only five men, just five men, and we could get out of the oppressive cold. Looking around the mud flat, it was apparent that some students were about to give up. It was still over 8 hours till the sun came up. Eight more hours of bone-chilling cold. The chattering teeth and the shivering moans of the trainees were so loud, it was hard to hear anything. And then one voice began to echo through the night. One voice raised in song. The song was terribly out of tune, but sung with great enthusiasm. One voice became two, and two became three, and before long, everyone in the class was singing. The instructors threatened us with more time in the mud if we kept up the singing, but the singing persisted, and somehow the mud seemed a little warmer, and the wind a little tamer, and the dawn not so far away. If I have learned anything in my time traveling the world, it is the power of hope. The power of one person, a Washington, a Lincoln, King, Mandela, and even a young girl from Pakistan, Malala. One person can change the world by giving people hope. So if you want to change the world, start each day with a task completed. Find someone to help you through life. Respect everyone. Know that life is not fair and that you will fail often. But if you take some risks, step up when the times are the toughest, face down the bullies, lift up the downtrodden, and never, ever give up. If you do these things, the next generation and the generations that follow will live in a world far better than the one we have today. And what started here will indeed have changed the world for the better.
The little things matter. And the private little things matter. We can kind of pretend to be somebody in public. And God sees all this in our heart, in our life. But behind the scenes, the little things matter just like they do in public. I'm going to read a passage of scripture to you from Luke chapter 16. And it'll start at verse 10. We're just going to look at a couple of verses, really. And as I talk to you this morning about this, I want you to know that I am reminded of some corners and pieces in my life that where I have not been faithful as I should. And, you know, this life is hard for all of us. And distractions come. And sometimes we call them emergencies. And we label some things as more urgent when sometimes they're not always urgent. And so the sharks come to distract us from our faithfulness to God and faithfulness in this world and all the little things that we do that make up our life right where we're at, no matter where we're from, no matter what our past is. You know, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, endure hardship like a good soldier. That you and I are to endure hardship and not let it rob us from being faithful. It doesn't give us license to work outside of faithfulness because things got tough or hard. And it's a big standard, and that's why I'm grateful for a Savior like Christ. His blood was shed for the forgiveness of my sins so that I'm not lost in condemnation or self-condemnation, but He brings hope and an empowerment that we can continue to change our world because we are changing who we are with the help of God and being faithful in the little things that matter. In Luke chapter 16, verse 10, it says, "One who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much." Just like Jesus continues to speak, "The one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much." You know, I'm standing here in great conviction in my own life as I think about these things. In fact, what a morning for a personal trainer from Anytime Fitness to be visiting this morning. Because I have not been faithful. I'm keeping my jacket buttoned. You know, reminded that, you know, I had time to get back over and work out, and I just didn't. And I can't even blame it on an emergency. Man, when I needed an emergency, it didn't happen. And I look at these different things in our life. You know, I mean, I look at things like this. We've moved over the 30-plus years that Sue and I have been married. We've moved several times. Do you know that we have some boxes that we have not unpacked? You already know what I'm going to say, because some of you are going, ooh, ouch. That we have not unpacked, not from just moving to Sparta 12 years ago, but from a few moves before that. We've never unpacked the box. Now, some of them have to do with sentiment and items like that that just don't make their way out into the house. To, you know, there's things and memories and all of that. But there's other stuff. It was interesting because just yesterday, Sue says, you know, we really got to purge through some stuff. I mean, we're not being, you know, really faithful with it. We're not taking care of it. We're not, you know, there's some things that just, you know, how many of you, sometimes you just don't take care of the things that you have. I mean, I'm talking about, listen, the moment you buy, you go to the store and you buy $4.99, I don't know, some decorative thing to put in your flower garden. Do you understand that just that small purchase has now implicated your life and has called you to another measure of faithfulness? Because in fall, when you clean it all out, you got to take that little $5 purchase, clean it off, and put it away somewhere where you can find it in the spring. The little things matter. Because when spring comes and you can't find it, but you know you have it. How many of you have ever gone back to a store and bought something you already know that you have but you cannot find? Yeah. Yeah, I'm talking to the right people. Yeah, and it irritates me. Because why? Because I didn't take the 10 seconds, the minute, the 2 minutes to take it and put it where it really belongs. And now I eat of the fruit of unfaithfulness over something small. We can say, you know, that stuff doesn't matter. Now you start adding all the little things that we are not, that we can't be trusted with. We haven't been faithful. And we haven't been faithful with little. We will never be faithful with the greater things in our life. I look at what Jesus is saying, and of course, he begins to talk about how, in some ways, this life that we live right now, it matters, but it's a proving ground. It's kind of like, you know, for the auto manufacturers, they got a private proving ground where they take out their new product and they test it and drive it and hit the brakes and all different conditions and do all kinds of things. This life we live is kind of like that. We find out what we're made of, where we lack, what we're good at, where we're disciplined, where we're not, where we're faithful, where we aren't. Listen, I'm hoping that the car manufacturers, when they do the proving grounds, they don't find weaknesses and go, not a big deal. It's okay. Because I am buying that vehicle and putting my children and grandchildren in that vehicle, and we are going down the highway in Wisconsin in early April. Because we still had snow and ice. That's why I said that. I was going to say December, but, you know, it just, you know, April. You know, I don't want them to go, it's okay. It's good enough. Right? I want to be faithful with the little things because those things matter to me when I've got my family in it. In our life, I want the little things to get my attention and begin to matter more, that I begin to become more faithful. Listen to what Jesus says as he goes on. He said, one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much, and one who's dishonest in little will be dishonest when the chips are down, when it's much. If then you have not been faithful in unrighteous wealth, now I want to pause here and explain this. Depends on what translation you're reading in the scripture. And, you know, in the English language of translations, we can sometimes lose the real meaning of something. And so there's an old-fashioned word that, I'll just call it old-fashioned. We don't have to go into all the language study. But there's a word in some of your older translations that says mammon. Mammon. And mammon, we think money right away, you know, especially in the United States. We just think, oh, this has to do with money. I want you to know mammon was broader than money. Mammon had to do with all the resources in our life and all the things that become implications in our life that we rely on or we participate in. And so as we go through this morning, I don't want you to think that this is just about money. This is about everything. This is from the tool that I have in my you know, garage. Am I going to take care of this? You know, there's a spot. I have a spot on, it's kind of a workbench. It sits on some old cabinets, and it's there. And there are times where I'm using different tools, and I don't take the 10 seconds or minute to wipe it off, clean it, and hang it back up where it belongs. So what I do, there's a spot on my workbench that when that happens, I will throw them there in a pile. Not in different piles, but in one pile. So that if I need it and I can't find it where it belongs, I know I can go to this pile. And then there's some point where I say, you know what, that's enough. I need to take 5 minutes, 25 minutes, whatever it is, go through this pile, take care of the tools, and put them back where I know that I think they belong. Because it's very frustrating not be able to find stuff later. And then I have to start blaming my wife that she took it. And I hate when I'm wrong. Listen, these little things make a difference in my life, which affect how I feel and how I think, and all of a sudden they bleed over into my relationships, and I'm supposed to be acting Christ-like. But because I didn't take care of little things that catch up with me and aggravate me, now I'm aggravated and it spills out into other areas of my life. Now, because we weren't faithful somewhere in the little thing, it's affecting the more important thing. That we are not faithful in those things because we were not faithful with the little things. Jesus says this wealth or this mammon or all the things that we rely on this life and resources. And by the way, as we get into this, I want you to know when it talks about much or little, it is not about the much or the little. If we start to think in our Western mentality of the United States of America, right away we think, well, if I'm faithful with little, I'm going to be really rich and have a lot of stuff. We're missing the point. The point isn't about having more stuff. The point of this is about being faithful with little things. So when bigger things come, we're faithful. And the nature of Christ is shown in our life. And it begins to change our world. And over time and consistency, it just begins to change. It changes. It influences those around us. It makes a difference in the atmosphere and culture and all of that of our life and where we go. Jesus continues and says, if then you have not been faithful in the mammon or the things of this world, who can entrust to you true riches? See, Jesus here is talking about this life matters, it counts, but it's also a proving ground. Are we going to be faithful with the resources and the things that implicate our life? Are we going to be faithful? Because if we're not faithful with these things of the world that, you know, don't matter much in light of eternity or his kingdom principles, he says, if we can't be faithful with these things, how can I, the Lord, give to me, us, true riches, eternal things, eternal opportunities, ministry opportunities, meaningful relationships, the things that are big in our life. How can he entrust us with his reputation and the ministry of his Spirit in our life if we are not faithful with the things of this world and the little things in our life? That's what he's talking about. It's the principle of faithfulness. It's not about the principle here of little or much. It's about a character thing. And he goes on and he says, if you have not been faithful in that which is someone else's, who will ever give to you that which is your own? Let me ask you a question. Have anybody in this room, if you have ever rented an apartment or rented a house, let me ask you a question. Don't answer out loud. What kind of a renter were you? I'm not talking about whether your place was nice or not so nice. I'm not talking about whether your landlord took care of everything or they let some things slide. Listen, just because they let things slide doesn't mean that we, as the renter, should have a lackadaisical attitude, that we should be faithful with that which we have been given. Have you been a good renter? Did you pay your rent on time? Did you keep the place clean? Did you let the landlord know about any breakdowns or flaws that you yourself, you know, wasn't within your parameter or liability to fix? And yet, did you maintain the yard? Did you clean the gutters? What kind of a renter were you? You see, the place isn't really yours, you're renting it. But if we aren't good renters, how then could we ever be given our own home? I know our mentality is, well, if it was mine, I'd really take care of it. Well, that's a flaw attitude right there. I'm not going to touch on it, but I'll give you this example. You know, we had 4 children, 4.5 years. They all kind of became teenagers, one after the other. They were all teenagers at the same time, and they had very busy lives and involved in a lot of things, and so that implicated me to work hard and long and pick up extra jobs and do all of that so that we could have some extra automobiles, used automobiles, that they could use and get from point A to B. It wasn't given to them. They were ours. My wife and I, but we let them use it. And they're all excited, and they get their own key, and they get the key ring, and woo-hoo. And I'm telling them, listen, you know, you got to help check the oil. You got to make sure there's gas in it. You know, I'm going to give you money for gas because basically you got no job. You know, so, and all of these things, and yeah, I want you to keep it clean. Yeah. That lasted about 5 days to 8 days. I go out to the car, and there's like litter. I don't mean like one little garbage bag crumpled up that they forgot. I mean litter. I mean, you know, take one of the sharp pokers and go on the interior of the car and just start picking stuff up with it and putting it in a trash can. There was clothes in there. Their clothes. Now, where we lived, we had closets. The trunk, books from school and binders and, I don't know, there was a library book. Obviously, that wasn't my son's car. You know, I'm like, this is my car. This is not yours. Please, would you, you know, and it just. And then they got their own cars. I knew it would happen. Oh, it comes home clean. It's nice. And ooh, they're all excited. And I'm going, I know how you treated mine. I know what's going to happen to this thing. I'm still the one when they come over checking their oil, amongst other things. Yeah, you know, so if we aren't faithful with something else, somebody else's, how in the world would we ever have our own and be faithful with it? You know, if you ever borrow something from somebody, I hope you return it, you know, clean. Or if it broke, you replace it or you purchase it. Or you see, if we aren't faithful in those little things, how could we ever be called upon or be given a greater responsibility in relationship or whatever else? Now, I don't want you to think for a moment that those who have a lot of stuff in this life, boy, they must be really faithful compared to some who have less. That's not how this is measured. The principle is faithfulness. Sometimes much and more stuff is just much and more. And that doesn't mean that they're faithful. Listen, you get to a point in life where you have several things, and all of a sudden you realize, this stuff is, to be faithful with it, it's taken up so much of my life and time, it's robbing me of other opportunities, especially if I'm a follower of Christ and I look at how is my time spent and what does God want to do in my life. If I am so cluttered up with all the stuff, even if I take care of it or most of it, it is robbing me of what He's really calling me to be faithful. He could be wanting me to do so much more in His kingdom or ministry or for people or what matters or relationships in my life. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. But that doesn't mean I shouldn't care for my body. Can I hear an amen from the personal trainer in the room? Never mind, don't say it. Jesus continues here. And if you have not been faithful in that which is someone else's, how will you ever be given your own? See, the Lord's looking at this. Our life matters, and what we do here matters and has an impact and effect. But you have to remember, he's coming with His kingdom. And if we haven't been faithful with the things of this world and responsibilities in our life and responsible with ministry and who He's calling us to be and character transformation and who we should become, if we haven't been faithful with that, when He comes with His kingdom, or why He's bringing His kingdom, or why He's wanting to do things here and through our lives, why would He entrust that to us? Because he who's not faithful in the little things will never be faithful in much. The one who's dishonest in these little things, you're trying to get ahead and there's a little flavor or aroma of dishonesty. Think you're fooling everybody? Listen, God's saying, you might get away with that here, but I'm not going to trust you with the greater things of my kingdom or character because you are dishonest in the little things. You will be dishonest. I'm not putting that at risk. You know how this works. Listen, I have it happen. There's people, not many, but there's a few, who book an appointment. They forgot or something came up. They didn't let me know. It's no big deal. That happens to all of us. It's happened to me. Not throwing stones here. But they come by sometime later out of the blue and make a second appointment, and they never show up again. They make a third appointment. Months later, they never show up. You think I'm going to trust them with anything? You think I'm going to give them some greater responsibility? They can't even make it to a meeting or have the courtesy to call. Oh, my goodness. Not faithful with that. This is the things the Lord's talking about. If we're not faithful, how is He going to give us the greater responsibilities and the greater moves of His Spirit and the greater things of the kingdom, the greater treasures of who He is and what He wants to do and the power of His Spirit when or if I am not faithful with the little things? You see, the little things matter, and this life is hard, and there's always distractions, there's always the sharks, whether it's inconvenience or time or whatever, and we just have to stand our ground and say, you know what, I am choosing right now to take care of this little mess on my workbench and getting everything back to where it belongs, because the little things matter. Listen, I hear stories from my kids, you know, now that they're young adults and out with their life. I hear little things from them over the years that they mention that they remember about childhood or about me or about Sue that comes out in the way of appreciation or admiration. And it wasn't just about the big things that we remember. It was some little thing that I was just, or Sue was just doing what we needed to do, not even knowing that they would notice or it would impact their life, and they bring it up. And it was something that I thought was just little, and we were going to take care of it, and we were just going to do it, and that was just part of life and how we were going to live. And I learned how these little things and consistencies over time have such a big influence. That means you and I, if we pay attention to little things, it can have a very big effect where we live. And being a follower of Christ, the light of Him and the grace of Him and the mercy of Him going through our life to make a difference for other broken people just like us. Jesus says this, "No servant can serve two masters." Now, right away we think, can't serve God and money. In fact, the closing verse here, it says that. But remember, we're talking about mammon. It's all the resources and all the things that implicate in how we live our life and rely on things. It is all of this. It's not just money. First service, I was talking to a lady. I asked how her husband was doing, and she told me, and I said, "How's the dog?" She says, "You know, we should have probably never got these two little puppies." They're empty nesters. And I said, "Probably shouldn't have got these two little puppies." She goes, "They are so much work." You see, they had two dogs that they had before, and they grew up over a long time, and they got old and passed on, and so they replaced and got two new. She goes, "There's so much work. And so now we have to figure out, do we travel? Do we stay home this week?" I said, "I totally understand, because we have a six-month-old puppy, okay? And she's already over 60 pounds. She's a Chihuahua." No, I'm kidding. The moment we did that, it was signing up to be faithful. And it takes work and all the behind the scenes. Listen, let me tell you, winter got long, right? Wasn't a bad winter, it just got long and snow came late and cold and everything else. Well, the snow melted. Do you know what that revealed? I had to go out and be faithful. In fact, I bought a $7 tool that I can just squeeze and it opens up and grabs, and I'm walking around the yard being faithful with neighbors are driving by. Gal walks by with her newborn baby, they're walking in the neighborhood with the stroller. She come back a little while later, she says, "You're still hard at it." I mean, how do you politely say, I'm still picking up dog poop?" Faithful with the little things, because they matter. Not just to me and us, but to people who go by and look at our yard and get little snapshots of our life, and we're supposed to be followers of Christ. If He can't trust us with the little, how will He trust us with greater? And God has big plans for you. He wants to entrust you and I with more. He came to great extents to die for us and save us and give us purpose. And He has more of His kingdom to give to all of us. "No servant can serve two masters, for either you hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." If we get lost and engulfed in taking care of all the stuff in our life that's considered mammon, even if we feel we're faithful with it, but it begins to rob us of our availability to have good relationship with God, if it robs us of being a part of ministry and caring for people and ministering to people and giving of our resources in many ways, time, money, etc., whatever it is, to build the kingdom, if it robs us of that because we don't have time or we don't make it a priority, then we're not being faithful. I don't care how much stuff you got or how organized your garage is or how organized your three closets of shoes are. I don't care if all of that is taking away from our openness to what God wants to do in our life and relationships with Him and others, then we're not being faithful. And the greater things of God's kingdom will not come to our life. We are saved by His grace and mercy, And it is free. He's purchased us for it, purchased that salvation for us freely. We don't pay for it. But after we come to faith in him, we still need his grace and mercy to empower us to become faithful, to change our life, because with that salvation comes responsibility for you and I. Our works are supposed to be a sign that we're a follower of Christ. Our works do not purchase our ticket to heaven. Mm-mm. Jesus can only do that. And faith in him is how we receive it. So he's saying here, I have more kingdom things that I want to entrust to you, to me. But if you and I are not faithful with the little, he will not entrust more to us of his presence, of his power, of revelation and understanding, of experience with him. If we are dishonest with little, he will never trust us with the greater things that he has planned and wants for your life and mine. Let's stand up, please, all over this room. I want to thank you for being here this morning, for worshiping and taking time out to allow something meaningful maybe to happen between you and God in this place today. And you and I need to build off that tomorrow when we're not all here, but just in our own life, being faithful with that. Listen, life is overwhelming. I know. I am not immune because I have some letters before my name. I live in real life just like you. I stand on the platform because I'm speaking and so I can see you and you can see me, but you and I walk on level ground together. Real life, real hard. Real adversary, but we got a real Savior. We got one who gives us hope and gives us strength, one who's gracious. He just wants to see this faithful effort. And so I want the greater things of God to be entrusted to you. I really do. But the pathway to that is being faithful with the little. And nobody in this room is perfect with it. I know that. I've got things I've got to take care of, better care of, or things that my time to do differently for my body, the way I eat, what I eat, how much I eat. And maybe doing some exercise. Get my beach body back. I want you to know right now, my beach body is the same in winter as it is in summer. This is it. Listen, I want to encourage you. I want you to find hope and motivation that God has something greater. And partway for those things is that we be faithful. We become faithful. Listen, your children are watching. They live with you. They're catching it. If you put other things as higher priority, even if you slap, oh, a spiritual thing on there, like, oh, Lord, yeah, we're not going to involve ourselves in ministry or do this or volunteer or do this other stuff. You're teaching them that other things are more important. They're going to catch it. And do you know that they're going to take that further? And you're going to watch them do that to your grandchildren. One of the greatest things we could do for our children is, yeah, we're at their games. We would schedule things. We would get them involved in things, the things they wanted to be in, all of that. And we were busy. Sue and I were doing split shifts. You know, she was going one way and I'm going another way to catch two different games or concerts for our kids and all of that. But ministry, the things of God, were always more important. And I couldn't just say, well, I'm with my kids, Lord, and you must love that. And I teach them that everything else in life is more important than the things of God, the character of God, prayer, the word, worship, tithing, giving, being involved in ministry, being involved with people. I had to teach them those things are more important because that's where the more is. That's where the faithfulness is. See? I want you to have a good life. I want you to have a fruitful life. I want you to be healthy in your soul and spirit and in your body. We need God's help. We have implicated and complicated our life. I thought at my age I'm supposed to start simplifying, and yet we got a puppy. Another puppy. See, what do? I'm not saying we shouldn't do things and express things, be faithful and all of that, but we have to watch. Are we faithful with the little? Because he has more of his kingdom and himself to give to you.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.